concerns. Let's pray. Father God, you've drawn us together today from a variety of different backgrounds, different experiences, different hopes, and different dreams. Lord, be with us as we gather today to experience your presence and your healing love. Open our hearts and our spirits to receive strength and encouragement and peace. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're in one of our churches, worshiping live and watching the video today, you've probably already shared your joys and concerns. So why don't we go to the Lord in prayer? And if you haven't, God can hear your heart. So as we pray together, allow him to have those things that he says to give to him, and bring your joys, bring your concerns, your worries, and your triumphs. So that he can both get his glory and also give you what you need, so he gets your praise as well. So let's pray together. Oh Lord, how beautiful is the diversity that's present with us as we worship today. Lord, you've blessed us with such a variety of people and different experiences as we gather together. You've not commanded that everyone be exactly the same. You don't require that we all have the same degree of faith, or that we share the same gifts for service to your kingdom. But Lord, we live in the selfie generation. We're obsessed with the need to capture the moment. When something special happens, we have to get it in a picture. We have way too many photos that remind us of all these special times, but they don't truly capture the feeling in our hearts. It's just a photo. In our hearts, Lord, we need to capture the work that you're doing in us, that work that changes our attitudes. As we grow closer to you, we see how we hunger and thirst for your loving touch and your presence to adjust our way of thinking. That's a double-edged sword at times. We're selfish by nature. We're conditioned to look out for number one. So sometimes we think that we should be the only ones who receive these blessings. When that attitude creeps into our thinking, we end up turning our backs on those in need. But you hear the cries of all who are in need, and you turn to each one with your healing love. Lord, forgive our selfish and stubborn attitudes. Heal us. Turn us again toward pathways of compassion for all your people. Lord, as we spend this time in prayer, we've offered many names in prayer for healing or for restoration, for hope, for peace. Some of these names have been spoken out loud as we gather. Others remain silent in our hearts and in our minds. You've heard each cry for healing and each shout of gratitude. So Lord, let us now place our trust in your compassion. Let us remember that your blessings extend to all people. Strengthen us in this time to be witnesses of your love and your servants in ministry to all your people. For we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So this morning I've chose to share from the Gospel of Matthew. This is chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. This is about the faith of a Gentile woman. So hear these words. It says, "Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely.' But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. 'Tell her to go away,' they said. 'She's bothering us with all this begging.' Then Jesus said to the woman, I was sent only to help the lost sheep, the people of Israel. But she came and she worshiped him, pleading again, Lord, help me. And Jesus responded, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. She replied, that's true, Lord. But even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. Dear woman, Jesus said to her, your faith is great. Your request is granted. And your daughter, or her daughter, was instantly healed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, you know, I like to start with a question. I took a preaching class one time, and they always said you should end with a question. I personally think we should start with a question. It kind of sets us up and gets us thinking in a particular direction. And maybe sometimes we'll end up going a few directions as we hear God's word. But so I want to ask you something this morning. Has there ever been something in your life that you've wanted so bad? I mean, you want this thing so bad that you can absolutely taste it. Now, something that you believe, you want something that you believe in so wholeheartedly. You just think that you can't live without it. I have to have this something. Have you ever wanted something that kept you up at night just thinking about it over and over and over again, just running through your mind? Now, if I'm doing my job correctly right now, you should be thinking about something like that, a situation, a thing, something. You should be thinking about that right now. So what was it? Was it something that you really yearned for? So let me ask you this. Was it for you, or was it for somebody else? Was it something that would bring you some kind of a creature comfort, like a new car that was just the greatest deal that you had ever seen? You have to have this new car. Or maybe it was a new job. You need this new job because, man, that new job would pay a little bit more, and it would put a really nice dent in that debt that you've got, and maybe it will raise your credit score a little bit. Maybe it was something else. Maybe it was a new relationship. You just, I want to be in relationship with this person. You know, it's the bigger things in life that tend to cause us that burning desire, those big things that cause this burning desire in us. And it's those desires that move us to do things that we wouldn't normally do. Now, I might be really hungry. Really hungry. I don't look like it, but I do get hungry. And if I was in the line at Wendy's and the drive-through line is wrapped all the way around a building, here's what. Taco Bell's going to do just fine in that moment. I wouldn't get all worked up. It wouldn't bother me too bad if I couldn't get a hamburger. That's not the end of the world. But if somebody in my family, somebody I love, was in dire need, I would do almost anything to help them get what they needed. Quick example. My mother-in-law was in the hospital because she had terrible emphysema. I had just had a hard time breathing. Most of the time she could barely breathe at all. And the only time that she could get any relief at all from that constant pressure in her chest was right after she had received one of her breathing treatments. She would watch the clock, just waiting for that time where she could get her treatment. Well, one day while we were visiting her, she was in a hospital with this condition and just struggling terribly. She was watching that clock, and her breathing treatment didn't show up when it was scheduled to show up. And the nurse said that, it will be here shortly. Well, shortly came and went. And no treatment for my mother-in-law. The waiting for her, I imagine for her it went on forever. For me and the family that was gathering with her there, the waiting went on way too long. Quite honestly, after a couple of times of being brushed off rudely by this nurse, I came to the conclusion that this nurse, She just didn't care. Now, I want to preface this story with the fact that my mother-in-law and I were probably not the closest of friends. And that was a long, long time before God ever called me into ministry. And while we might not have agreed on some things, I still had this respect for my mother-in-law. She was not a bad woman. She was a good woman. And the truth remains, my mother-in-law sure didn't deserve to be treated the way she was being treated by this nurse. She shouldn't have never been mistreated. And watching her lay there, I know some of you have been in this same position, watching her lay there and fight for each breath. We did not agree, but she was still my loved one. And watching her do that arouses anxiety in me and this compassion in me that I had to do something that may have looked a little bit drastic to other people. But in the moment, in that context, I felt I needed to do something. You know, this nurse that kept brushing my mother-in-law off, she may have had a lot to do that day. She may have been really short on help that day. Or maybe she was just having a bad day, and that affected the attitude she had with her patients. I don't know. And quite honestly, in that moment and in that context, I didn't really care what kind of day she was having. Because she was the one, at that point, that she had the responsibility and she had the means to help my failing mother-in-law. And as this nurse left the room, I saw an opportunity for her and I to have just a little chat in the hallway. And at that point, I made her a couple of options. And I presented her with a pretty reasonable proposition. And guess what? That breathing treatment guy almost instantly showed up within a few seconds after our conversation. You see, in my mind, at that time, that nurse was standing in the way of the care and the healing that my mother-in-law was in desperate need of. Our talk, well, it just helped her to adjust her attitude a little bit. Now, as we look at our gospel message this morning, I think about the yearning that was in that Gentile mother's soul as she went to a drastic measure to seek healing and care for her daughter, her failing daughter who was possessed by a demon. At that moment, she was willing to do anything, even if it seemed unrealistic to the people around her. She was willing to do anything. So she comes to Jesus because she must have heard somewhere about his willingness and his ability to be this healer that she and her daughter were in need of. And then in this same passage, I hear the words of the disciple as they dismiss this woman without a care in the world. They say, tell her to go away. She's bothering us. Jesus, she's bothering us with all of this begging. Imagine how disheartening it must have been for this woman as she experiences this level of disrespect and this kind of rejection. And then just to add insult to injury, that gets followed up with the words of Jesus. He says, I was only sent to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. It isn't right. This is Jesus. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. Wow. Is this the Jesus that we want to make sure every man, woman, and child accepts as their personal Savior? He just called this woman, this desperate Gentile mother, a dog. He just demeaned this woman who's willing to humble herself before him, probably on the ground, face down, pleading to him. She's begging for help only on the reputation of some guy that she's only heard about because all she can think about, all she's yearning for, is help for her failing child. And his reputation says he can do it. The response from Jesus sounds so out of character. It just sounds completely harsh. So I want to know, did Jesus really respond in the way that the text says he did, or is there more to this story? For those of us who put our complete faith in Jesus, there has to be something else going on here, because who would take seriously anybody or any church who would act in a way like that? That's why sometimes we need a little bit of background to understand the whole or the rest of the story. Otherwise, we might end up with the wrong attitude ourselves. As we dig in a little, we may just find out that Jesus saw that this woman who was pleading in front of him was really, maybe she was really the one with the right attitude. So here's a little history. The relationship between the Canaanite, or this Gentile, as our translation calls this woman, the relationship between the Gentiles and the Jews was about as friendly and accepting as what we see between different groups who are deeply divided today. Neither side was really leaving much, if any, room for a respectful conversation. In fact, many Jews had a name for the Canaanites. They called Canaanites, all Canaanites, dogs. That's how deep the prejudice ran between these groups. So, if there was so much hostility between these two groups, why? Think about this. Why would Jesus intentionally take his disciples where they would be subject to this, in this atmosphere? If you read Matthew's gospel, you will begin to notice something. Jesus had a habit of leading his disciples into places where they would have to confront their own assumptions. Think about the feeding of the 5,000. Think about the night on the water when Peter stepped out of the boat. On the surface, those stories seem to be about hungry crowds or big storms. But if we dig a little deeper, if we look a little closer, who was really learning the lessons in those moments? It was almost always the disciples. Here's the thing. Jesus was constantly shaping those disciples. He was stretching them, teaching them to see the world through God's eyes instead of their own expectations. And that's exactly what's happening in this story. If we slow down a little bit, look beneath the surface, we have to ask ourselves, who's Jesus really talking to? Is his primary lesson for the Canaanite woman, or is he using this encounter maybe to expose the hearts of his own faithful, yet still very naive disciples? When Jesus made this comment, he called this faithful mom a dog. He wasn't so much sending a message to this lady as he was to the disciples. I'm pretty sure that one thing we can all agree on is that Jesus has an uncanny ability to read people, especially his very own hand-picked disciples. I'm going to reread this, or I'm going to read this passage again, but I'm going to do it with a little different inflection. And I want you to see if it doesn't sound like an attitude adjustment for some of those who were standing around this encounter with this woman. Here's what it says. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon and that torments her severely. But Jesus, he gave no reply, not even a word. I picture Jesus looking to his disciples and waiting for their response. And this is what he gets. Then the disciples turned to him and said, "Turn her away." Sound familiar? It was the same thing in the feeding of the 5,000. They wanted to send them away too. Send them away to get something to eat because it's getting late, they said. Now Jesus says again, and then Jesus told them that they had to feed him then. And then he hears, "Tell her to go away." They said, "She's bothering us." Jesus, she's bothering us with all this begging. Then Jesus says to the woman, "Well, I was only sent to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and she worshiped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." And I still picture Jesus looking into the eyes of the disciples as he answers this mother. Jesus responded, "Is it right to take food from the children and give it to the dogs?" And she replied, "That's true, Lord. But even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." I can see Jesus looking right into the eyes of the disciples as he utters his response to her. "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. It sounds a little bit different from that perspective, doesn't it? Maybe it's just me, because I use sarcasm to make my point sometimes. But can't you just feel Jesus ripping those disciples a new one as he blesses this woman? Despite the disciples' request, here they are. They had signed on to follow Jesus, just like we have. And just like us today, they've been steeped in the stereotypes of their own culture. To call them Canaanites to them Canaanites were dogs. And even though they had witnessed this over and over, they still hadn't figured out that with God, no one's a dog. This passage sounds like an attitude adjustment to me, and I hope it sounds like that to you as well. That day, the disciples learned another life-changing lesson. And we, as the disciples today, we're called to learn that lesson too. You know, that's what it means to be a disciple. We're in a constant state of learning and repenting. Each opportunity we encounter should be a learning experience that comes with some kind of an attitude adjustment. Many of us have had the experience of someone mirroring our own attitudes back at us. And when that happens to us, it's not always comfortable, is it? When we get a little bit of a taste of our own medicine, we may understand how bitter that medicine really can be. Jeannie does this to me all the time. And I always tell her when she does it, I said, "Hey, don't you use my own logic against me." But in reality, it's humbling. Really humbling when we hear our own bigotry or our own greed or our own hate or our own envy or lust or double standards or self-righteousness as a way to adjust our way of thinking. So let me leave you with this challenge for this week. Before you just dismiss someone, before you decide that they're too difficult, too different, too broken, too needy, maybe even beyond your time or attention, stop and ask yourself a real simple question. Am I looking at this person through my eyes or through the eyes of Jesus? Because the truth is, we all have people that we'd rather avoid. Sometimes it's an addict on the street. Sometimes it's a person living on the street. Sometimes it's a family member whose politics just drive us absolutely crazy. Or somebody in the family who just makes bad decisions one after another. Sometimes it's the person sitting on the other side of the sanctuary from us. But every one of these people bears the image of God, and every one of them matters to Jesus. The longer we walk with Christ, the more our attitude should begin to look more like His. Friends, our spiritual maturity isn't measured by how many Bible verses we know or how many church services we've attended. It's measured by whether our hearts are becoming more compassionate, more gracious, more patient, more willing to see people in the way that Jesus sees them and utilizes them to adjust our attitudes. So maybe this week Jesus isn't asking us to fix somebody else's attitude. Maybe He's inviting us to let Him adjust ours. Let's become the kind of disciples who never stand between the people and the grace of God, but instead become the ones who help lead others to the grace of God. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank You for adjusting attitudes here today. Thank You for reminding us that Your love reaches further than our assumptions, that Your mercy is greater than our prejudices, and that Your grace continues to shape the hearts of Your disciples. Lord, whenever we're tempted to judge before we love, teach us. Whenever we're tempted to dismiss someone that You've called us to serve, correct us. Whenever our attitudes begin to look more like the world's than Yours, give us the courage, Lord, to repent and allow You to change us. Just as You open the eyes of Your disciples, continue opening ours. Help us to see every person as someone created in Your image and deeply loved by You. Now, Lord, we dedicate our offerings to You. Bless every dollar that's been given. Multiply these gifts for the work of Your kingdom. Use them to proclaim the gospel, to care for those in need, to strengthen the church as well as this church, and to remind our communities that there's always room at Your table. As we leave this place, send us out as disciples whose attitudes have been shaped by Your grace. And may our words reflect Your compassion, our actions, Your mercy, and our lives point others to Jesus Christ. We ask this in the powerful name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.